Good morning once again on this snowy Sunday morning. Glad to have you here at Calvary, and glad you came slipping and sliding in, and good luck slipping and sliding home when it's all over. Three things I want to ask you to do this morning here at the beginning. Number one, I'd like you to open your Bibles and turn with me to the end of the Bible, or almost end of the Bible, to the little book of Jude. There is a book in the Bible called Jude. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. You skip over, it's like 25 verses. It's one page in most Bibles. So it's right before the book of Revelation. Turn to the book of Jude. Number two, if you would please pull out your sermon notes and perhaps take a few notes this morning on what we're going to be talking about. Then number three, I want to call your attention to the striking new banners that are up in the front of the sanctuary. Aren't those beautiful? Banners this year were designed by David and Lisa Maxwell. We want to thank them for many, many hours of hard work to do this. They started months ago working on this, and this is I didn't see the final result myself until I came in this morning, and it's just stunning. Looks like we've got stained glass that we've put up here in the front of the sanctuary. Fantastic. You can look at it and you can see what the theme of the year is. You know, for 14 consecutive years now, we have taken a theme and a theme verse to guide us as we start out on the new year. Well, this year, our theme is back to basics. We want to go back to the basics of God's Word. And there are four key words we're building that around: learning, knowing, believing, and living. And then you have our key verse for this year. It's from the book of Jude. It's Jude. Now, we have done this so we won't confuse you, but it also might confuse you anyway. This says Jude 1:20. Well, let me tell you, there's not a Jude 2. There's only one chapter of the book of Jude. It's 25 verses. It's a very, 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 very short little book. This is the 20th verse of the book of Jude, and this is the part of the verse we're using. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. So our theme this year is back to basics, and our key verse is Jude 20. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Now, I know people wonder how we decide what the theme is going to be every year, and that varies. Sometimes it takes a long time, and it's not until late in the year that we know what we're going to do the following year. Sometimes we talk and discuss. Well, this time, the Lord showed it to me last summer. Last summer, I knew what we're going to do in 2004 because I was out preaching somewhere. I think I was up in Maine when this finally came to me. I was away preaching for a week and thinking about where we'd been, where we are as a congregation, and where we need to go in the future. And the Lord impressed upon me that we needed this year to go back to basics, back to the basics of the Christian life, back to the basics of what we believe, back to the basics of what the Bible actually teaches, to make sure, as they say, we're all on the same page together. So that's what we're going to do this year. We're going back to basics so we can make sure that we know what we as a congregation really believe. Now, what I want to do this morning is just lay out for you some of the reasons why I think this decision is so important for the church and what brought us to it. Number one thing is this. We're doing this because of the flow that we've been following in our church themes for the last 2 years. I have told you before that I do believe 9/11 changed everything, not just for the nation, but for us as a congregation. You may remember that after 9/11, in the year 2002, we took as our theme, God's Word, our unshakable foundation. And all of us, or most of us, hopped on the Bible bus, and we rode the Bible bus as far as we could go, and many of us wrote it all the way from Genesis to Revelation. It was a year of reading God's Word. Well, after that, after spending a year reading the Bible, last year our focus was on prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. So what comes next? After reading the Bible and after prayer, well, it just seemed to me, it seemed like the Lord was saying, what you need to do now is, having read the Bible and having learned something about how to pray, go back to the basics of what my word says and teach it again to your people. So that's number one. Number two is this. We're doing this because there are so many new people in our congregation. Look around. How many people here today do you know? Not too many. I know because I work here, and I don't know too many people here in this service. And we've got four services filled with a lot of people, and I do the best I can, but my brain just explodes trying to learn and remember the names of all the people who are coming to our church. The Lord has sent us, in the last 5 years, hundreds of new people. And it may interest you to know this. Several years ago, we did a very informal survey trying to find out the religious backgrounds of where people come from. Did you know that, according to that informal survey, upwards of 75% of the people who come to Calvary have the Catholic Church somewhere in their background? Upwards of 75% of our congregation. Either they were raised Catholic, or their family was raised Catholic, or they have Catholicism somewhere in their background. Now, I want you to know that's good with us. We're happy. You're welcome here. No matter what your pedigree is, it doesn't matter to us where you've come from or what churches you've been attending. It's fine with us. We have folks here, Lutheran background, Presbyterian, Methodist, Episcopal, and Church of the Brethren, and Missionary Church, and some Baptist Church, and so many different backgrounds. But about three-quarters of the people have Roman Catholic Church somewhere in their background. And you know what I think? I think that means that from time to time, when we've got people coming from so many different backgrounds, from time to time, it's only right that we should just stop and say, okay, folks, this is what we really believe, okay? That seems like a fair thing to do when you've got everybody coming from all these different places. So we're going to take some time this year so you can know what we really believe. We want to equip you in basic Bible doctrine. Number three, we're doing this because of the command of Jude 20, Jude 20, our theme verse for the year. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Interesting verse. Interesting expression there at the end. Your most holy faith. Far as I know, there's no other place in the Bible where that term is used. Your most holy faith. Three comments about that verse. Number one, our faith is holy because it comes from a holy God. Our faith is sacred because it comes from a God about whom the Bible says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. God is holy. What He says is holy. His word is holy. His truth is holy. Our faith is a most holy faith because it comes from a holy God. You know what that means? That means that Christian doctrine is not up for grabs. Christian doctrine is not to be made up by taking a survey of 100 people and finding out what the majority of people think. Christian faith is determined by what our holy God has said to us. Our faith is most holy because it comes from a most holy God. Number two thing I observe from this is that spiritual growth is not an option. Spiritual growth is not an option for the believer. It is a command of our God. He does not say, build yourself up if you feel like it. He does not say, build yourself up if you can squeeze it into your schedule. Our God says, this is my word. My word is holy. Your faith is holy because it comes from my word. Now build yourself up in what you believe. Spiritual growth is not optional. It is not an option for you to stay where you are right now. The only real option you have is to grow spiritually, to go further with the Lord than you've ever gone before. The third thing that I observe from this verse is this. That spiritual growth does not happen by accident. You must do something to make it happen. This is a command. He says, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Build yourselves up. There's something you must do. Spiritual growth does not happen by accident. Now I want to ask you a question. And I do not want you to raise your hands. Do not. You'll understand when I give you the question. How many of you, of us, let's say us, how many of us have made a resolution that we are going to lose weight this year? It's January the 4th. How many of us have made a resolution? Do not raise your hands. I don't want to know. I can guess, but I don't want to know. How many of us have said, I'm tired of being bloated. I'm tired of my clothes not fitting right. I am tired of squeezing into everything. Some of us have said, I'm just tired of the way I look. And I'm tired of the way I feel. I wonder how many, do not raise your hands. How many of us have said, this year, I'm going to get in shape. This year, I am. I'm going to lose weight, and I'm going to get in shape. Virtually everybody has said that. I know. Virtually everybody has. Well, I want to give you some advice. And just to clarify, I am not Richard Simmons, okay? I am not that, somebody said, thank God. I am not that Body by Jake guy. I'm not that guy with the long hair, whatever his name is. That could be about like 100 people, couldn't it? That guy with the long hair. I'm not any of those guys. But let me tell you something. I do know this much about it. If you want to lose weight this year, there's one thing you must do. You must change what you've been doing. If you do not change what you've been doing, you will not lose weight. Right? If you don't change, you can get on your knees and pray, Dear Jesus. Dear Jesus, take off those 30 extra pounds. Would you do it, Jesus? You can pray till the cows come home. And your pants are still not going to fit when you get up off your knees. If you don't change what you're doing, you're not going to lose weight, right? You say, I want to get in shape. That's good. I'm glad you want to get in shape. But if you don't change what you're doing, you are not going to get in shape. Making resolutions is good. Faith without works is what? Dead. Being alone. So you can say all the things you want to say. Look, folks, you know what insanity is. You've heard this before. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. If you want your life to be different in 2004, you're going to have to change what you were doing in 2003. If you don't change what you're doing, your life will not change. It will not. So if you want to lose weight, you're going to have to push back from the table. When they say, would you like some more mashed potatoes? You're going to have to say, no, I want some bean sprouts. And instead of more rolls, you're going to have to start drinking tofu or eating it or whatever you do to it. We've been over that before. If you don't change what you do, at the end of the year, you'll be exactly the way you are now, right? Same is true in the spiritual realm. You say, I want to grow spiritually. God says, build yourselves up. Build yourself up. That's a command. He does not say, sit back and I'll do it for you. He does not say that. God says, you are to do it. I will help you, but you must do it. You must make some decisions that will produce spiritual growth in your life, meaning you must change your schedule. You must change your priorities. You must change some decisions about Bible reading and prayer and scripture memory and fellowship and witnessing and giving and ministry. You must make some shifts in your life. If you don't change, you will never obey what God has said. And the Bible says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. Ephesians 4:14 says, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Listen, spiritual growth does not happen by accident, you can be closer to the Lord. You can be stronger. You can know God's Word better. You could be far along in Scripture memory. You could be a radically different kind of Christian by the end of this year. It will not happen by accident. You're going to have to change some things. It will not happen otherwise. Number five, we're going to go back to basics because of the nature of the Christian faith. Years ago, J. Gresham Machen. Machen was a leader of the Presbyterian Church in the early 1900s. Great godly man. In 1923, he wrote a magisterial book called Christianity and Liberalism, showing the radical difference between biblical Christianity and liberal Christianity. And toward the end of his life, looking back on that book and the great controversy that resulted, this is what Machen said. The issue in the church of the present day, and I believe it's true here in 2004, the issue in the church in the present day is not between two varieties of the same religion, but at bottom between two essentially different kinds of thought and life. There is much interlocking of the branches, but the two tendencies, he calls them modernism and supernaturalism, otherwise designated as non-doctrinal religion, which means come to church, call yourself a Christian, believe anything you want, and historic Christianity spring, he says, from different roots. In particular, Christianity is not a life as distinguished from a doctrine. It is not a life that has doctrine as its changing symbolic expression, but that, exactly the other way around, it is a life founded on a doctrine. Now listen to me, people of Calvary Memorial Church, we believe that we are called by God to go into all the world and help people understand and discover the life-changing power of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But we do not believe you can have a personal relationship apart from what is taught in the Word of God. Because there's all kinds of people out there, Hindus and New Age types, and people just extremely confused who do not believe the Bible, but they say, yes, I know Jesus, and I have a personal relationship with Him. That's not what we are talking about. We're talking about what Machen is talking about. Life based on the doctrines of the Word of God. Our faith must be founded upon what God has said. Thus, we go back to the basics. And again, we're going back to the basics because good theology can save your life. Good theology can save your life. This is something I've been thinking about the last several years has just been rolling and rolling and rolling around in my head. And maybe it's one of those things I already always knew, but now has sort of exploded inside my head. Listen to me. We know good theology can save your soul. It can also save your life. It's too late to decide what you believe when the doctor says, I'm sorry, you've got cancer. It's too late to decide what you believe when your marriage breaks up. It's too late to decide what you believe when you stand by the grave of a loved one. It's too late to decide what you believe when you've gone bankrupt or your children have broken your heart or you've come to the end of all human resources. If you want to survive the crises of life, you've got to know what you believe before the hard times come. Good theology can change, can save your life. And so, right before this service, there was a man out there, good friend of mine, who has just gone through the ringer. And I know a lot of the stuff he's been through. Gone through the ringer. And he's been down and up and down and up. But boy, he's been down a lot. And he said to me, he didn't know what I was going to preach on today. He said to me, Pastor Ray, you can tell the people this. I've discovered three things, or three words are true. God is faithful. And he said, I haven't always been faithful, but I've learned God is faithful. That's how good theology saves your life. Because when hard times come, you know God is good. God still loves me. God cares. God has a purpose. All things work together for good. This is not an accident. This is not meant to destroy me. God does not hate me. God still cares for me. That's what I mean. Good theology can save your life, but you got to know it first. That's why we got to go back to basics. And again, we're going back to basics so we can counteract the current emphasis on feelings and experience as the answer to all things. We are living in the day of relativism, the day when feelings rule the roost, when the way you feel trumps everything else, when your feelings are the judge of all reality. You know what relativism is? That's the view that says there is no absolute right and wrong. There is no absolute truth and falsehood, that it could be true for you but not true for me. Relativism is the view that says you believe adultery is wrong, so it's wrong for you, but I don't see anything wrong with it, so it's not wrong for me. Or it's the view that says you think homosexuality is bad, so for you it is bad. But me, I don't feel there's anything wrong with homosexuality, so for me there's nothing wrong with it at all. That's pure relativism. A week ago, John Stott, the great English Bible teacher, was scheduled to give the opening message at Urbana, the great triennial missions conference that was held down at Urbana, drew about 20,000 college-age young people this year. Stott couldn't make it, but he had someone read his address. And you know what he preached on? He talked in his message about relativism. And he gave a little bit of doggerel, kind of a loose kind of poem. And he said, this is what relativism is. It all depends on where you are. It all depends on who you are. It all depends on what you feel. It all depends on how you feel. It all depends on how you're raised. It all depends on what is praised. What's right today is wrong tomorrow. Joy in France and America, sorrow. It all depends on point of view. Australia or Timbuktu. In Rome, do as the Romans do. If tastes just happen to agree, then you have morality. But where there are conflicting trends, it all depends. It all depends. That's American society today. It all depends. If 51% of the people think it's right, then it's right. If 51% think it's wrong, it's wrong. And who are you to dare to tell me that my view or my feelings are not right? John Stott is correct. He says that against the relativism of this day, the church must rise again to answer the question, who is the Lord? And what he meant was, is the church supreme over Jesus, or is Jesus supreme over the church? And I fear that for many of us today, we have put the church over Jesus, so his words don't matter so much anymore. But Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? And so against the relativism of this age, the church must rise and say, thus says the Lord. Again, we need to go back to basics in light of the present world conflict. And I speak here not of the war on terror. I speak not of that at all. I speak of the coming clash worldwide between Islam and Christianity. I will say more about this in the weeks to come, but it is becoming ever clearer around the world that the coming clash is not a clash of arms or of blood or of physical warfare. It's a spiritual battle between two radically different worldviews that are ultimately incompatible with each other. And at the heart and soul of it is the simple question, who is Jesus Christ? Is he King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Is he truly the Son of God incarnate in human flesh? Is he the one before whom we should bow down and worship? If he is, then let the whole world bow down and worship before him. Or if he's not, then tell us, is he just a prophet to be honored but not to be worshipped? Jesus Christ is the great dividing line of history. And in light of that coming worldwide conflict, those who believe the Bible must arm themselves with the truth of the Word of God so that we can stand up and say to the world, it is Jesus Christ and Him alone. He is the Lord. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. There is no other way. There is no other name. There is no other foundation. Apart from Him, there is no other hope. We must equip ourselves. Days are coming when we must be ready to give that word. And again, we need to go back to basics because of the principle of authority. We live in an age of moral and spiritual anarchy. A day like the day of the judges in the Old Testament, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I think the most radical thing that Christians believe actually is not what we believe about Jesus. Because that's sort of a second or third thing. The most radical thing we believe in this world is we believe in the principle of authority that goes beyond human opinion. We believe there is a God in heaven who has spoken and He has not stuttered. We believe there is a God in heaven who has given us His Word, and His Word is truth. We believe there is a God in heaven who has established the truth, and therefore what is not truth must be error. We believe that there is a God whose ways are right, and therefore He has told us this is right and this is wrong. And on the basis of the authority of what God has said, the church rises up and says to a very confused world, this is truth, that is not truth. This is right, that is wrong. And by the way, what was the first attack the serpent made? What was his first attack in the Garden of Eden? He came to Eve and he said, yea, hath God said. Did God really say? And the church rises up and says, yes, there is a God and He has spoken and we must obey what God has said. The world says, we want freedom. God says, if you want freedom, obey my word. You shall know the truth, and what? The truth shall make you free. And apart from His truth, there is no lasting freedom. So we need to go back to basics. Because first we must know, then we grow, then we show. I was up at Word of Life a few months ago speaking and talking with my friend Wayne Lewis from the Bible Institute there, and he was explaining to me Word of Life's view of the ministry. He said, it's all no-grow show. I said, what? He said, it's all no-grow show. I said, what is that? He said, that's everything we do. Worldwide ministry down to three words. No-grow show. What do you mean? He said, first, you know it. Then you grow it inside. Then you show it outside. You know it. You grow it. You show it. And you know what? We need to go back to basics. Because too many of us are skipping to the showing part. We're going to show it before we know it and grow it. You got to know it, then you grow it, then you show it. Finally, we need to go back to basics because we owe it to the world out there so confused. We owe it to ourselves and to generations that shall follow us, and we owe it to our God to know what He has said. When John Stott came to the end of his message at Urbana, the one that was read there, he gave a great word. He said, in the 21st century, the great need is for Christians who will be, listen to this phrase, radical nonconformists. Radical nonconformists. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, be not conformed to the world, but what? Be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind, by going back to the basics of God's Word and renewing your mind so that your entire life is transformed, so that you are no longer conformed to the world. God's call to us is, instead of going with the world, instead of going with the flow, we are called by God to go against the flow so the world will see how different we are. And when they find out how different we are, they will find out that we've been made different by Jesus Christ. We're to be radical, nonconformist. How then shall we do this? Many ways, but I'll just tell you one. Starting next week with our theme, Back to Basics, and continuing for a few months, We're going to go to the oldest of all the Christian creeds. We're going to go to the Apostles' Creed, the one that many of you grew up saying in church every single Sunday. It's the oldest. It's the one accepted by most Christians everywhere. And we're going to take it line by line and phrase by phrase and sometimes word by word and show you why it has been so widely accepted, because the Apostles' Creed gives us a wonderful survey of the whole sweep of Christian doctrine. And we'll start that next week and we'll just continue it. So folks, come back. We're open again next Sunday morning and we're just going to start. And you know how the Apostles' Creed begins? I believe in God the Father Almighty. We're going to take next week two words, I believe. That's how we're going to do this. I'm in no hurry. I'm in no hurry. I'll be here for a while. So we're just going to start and go right through it. Three things you can do, and a fourth, and we're done. Number one, make sure of your own relationship to Jesus Christ. You say, I'm a Catholic. That's good. You're welcome here. I'm Lutheran. That's good. Presbyterian. That's good. I'm Episcopal. Okay. I'm Methodist. I'm Baptist. I'm Calvary Memorial. Whatever that is. Listen, you're not going to heaven by where you go to church. You're not. Jesus said, many people shall say in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons and do many miracles and wonderful things in your name? And Jesus shall say unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Don't hang on to your church membership or your baptism. Hang on to Jesus. Make sure you know him. Number two, ground yourself and your family in the Word of God. Do you remember that video we showed you last week about the family devotions? Folks, we weren't just trying to fill up time. We wanted to challenge you to take seriously the responsibility. If you are raising children, to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Listen to what I'm about to say. If we do not give our children the truth, there's a bunch of people out there who are more than willing to give them falsehood. If we do not give our children the truth of the Word of God, there are people out there who are quite willing to fill them with the lies of the world. It is our responsibility. So ground yourself and your family in the Word of God. Number three, be bold about your faith. This is no time to suck your thumb. This is a time to stand up and be counted. This is a day for every Christian to fly your flag high. Winsome, bold, unashamed Christian faith. Finally, pray. Pray. How should you pray? Ready? Pray that you will know so that you can grow, so that you will show to the world Jesus Christ. Pray that you will know so you can grow, so you can show the world who Jesus is. We live in a day of great spiritual hunger, don't we? You know how I know that? Number one best-selling book in America today, The Da Vinci Code. People are hungry. Rick Warren's book, Purpose-Driven Life, wonderful book, sold 12 million copies now. People are hungry. But you know what? They're hungry. And if they can't find the truth, they'll go after anything that's out there. A starving dog will eat slop if you put it in front of him. People are hungry. Great opportunities. We're debtors to the whole world. It's not going to be enough to say to Jesus, I saved my family. The Lord will say, what about your friends? What about your co-workers? What about your fellow classmates? What about the man next door, the woman next door? These are the greatest days of human history. I believe we are living in the last days before the return of the Lord. He may come this year. Billy Graham said in print this very week, he said there's a battle going on the earth between God and Satan. Dr. Graham is right. But remember, the darker the night, what? The brighter the light. So let your light shine. There are open doors everywhere. No reason to be discouraged in no time. People in the world we'll eat at the devil's trough or the Father's table. It's our job to point the way to the Father's table. So, that's the year that stretches out before us. We're going back to basics, back to the Word of God, equipping ourselves in what the Bible really says. We're going to try to know so we can grow, so we can show to the world who Jesus is. Going to be a great year. Can't wait. Can't wait to see what God is going to do. Would you stand, please? Going to ask our prayer partners to come to the front. If you've got anything on your heart and mind you'd like them to pray with you about, they'd love to meet with you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, which is so clear. Lord, forgive us when we've messed around with things that don't matter. Help us to know so we can grow, so we can show the world who Jesus is. Help us to do it now, this year, to shine our light so that others can see Jesus in us and through us. We pray it in His name. Amen. God bless you.